Rock and Covenant.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! I'm gonna be home. I look at that video again, reminding myself that that white stuff isn't sand. That's snow. Lots of it back home. Family's down this week for holidays with my outlaws up in Placerville, and Pastor Mike asked if I would come and speak. And I said, absolutely. We're in town. We'd love to do that. A quick introduction to my family. My wife, Debbie. Stand up, honey. We've been married 44 years. She's been married 22, and I've been married 22. And she's executive director of our counseling center on the campus. My daughter, Megan, she's a sophomore at Kenai Central High School in Kenai, Alaska. My son, Brad, is a sophomore at North Park University, triple majoring, actually. He's triple majoring in physics and in engineering and in sleeping. Big things that he's good at. My son Christopher is over at Bayside this morning. He's interviewing for a worship internship over there. So he's not with us this morning. I also just want to say before I begin, too, it's good to see Dale and Lois always. Friends for many years of the college, helped us plant almost the college from those years. Dale is still on staff today. We still are working together for accreditation. In fact, this is our big year, Dale. We're around for our 5 years, and if we get through this year, it'll be 10 more years until we get to go through the accreditation cycle again. And Lois always has a different hat or different pair of glasses to wear every Sunday, so I'm just looking to see what she was wearing. I'm wearing my Christmas tie. Am I the only guy in this room wearing a tie, by the way? I think I am. How embarrassing. My first Christmas tie was a gift from Sandy Bolger, and that was 26 years ago when we arrived here on staff. So I wore it in honor of Sandy today, Lee. All right? Okay. Hey, also, in your folders today, when you walked in the door, you got a brochure. And in this brochure, a couple things I want to bring your attention to. The first is that there's a student here I'm going to ask you to pray for this year. I don't know how many of you didn't get a Christmas present, but now you have an Eskimo to take home with you. So you all have a gift. It's called an Eskimo. Some of our students aren't Eskimos, but 90% of them are. Please make this your prayer student for this year, and each year that you get one of these to remember them up before the Lord. Even after they graduate or they move on, they need your prayers in Bush, Alaska. It's a difficult place to live and to be a follower of Jesus. And then there's also an envelope in there, and Kevin will talk about that a little bit later, and the brochure. Also, this morning, there's an outline for all you type A's who'd love to follow along and fill in the blanks. Good luck. We'll see if I can even come close to that. But there are many good notes today to take for this message this morning that the Lord has put on my heart. I just want to say, too, that, you know, I tell people over the years that I've been serving in the ministry of covenant churches, that this was, of all the places that I served as a pastor, my best years. They're not about me. I'm just saying that this is where God formed me the most to become a follower of Jesus and be an ordained pastor. And I want to say thanks again to this church, to all you folks that are, my hair actually was all one color when I moved here. And Larry gave me a head hair when I moved here. So I just want to say that our formative years married here, you were all, many of you all, I should say all, many of you were at our wedding. It was 22 years ago, our first son Brad. This is a very formative church for us, and we love to come back here and be with many of you friends who have walked through life's journey. Thank you for many of you that support us monthly as missionaries, for the church that supports us, and you're also the only church in all the 67 churches that support the college that gives us a Christmas present. So we want to say thank you for those gift cards every year that we can go ballistic when we get back home and buy great stuff for fun. So thank you for all those things. It's good to be home. Let's bow together. Lord, it's a few days after Christmas and we're pooped. It's been a wonderfully crazy season, as it always is, but it's so great to be in your house Sunday morning to kind of recollect ourselves and to refocus and revision and think of the coming year and what that means, Lord. My words, Lord, today come from my own experience as well as your word. And I ask you, God, to fill me with the Holy Spirit as I bring words of hope and encouragement to all of us. Lord, today again, we are looking for a miracle in our lives. I give you thanks, God, for the ministry of this church, of Pastor Mike as he's running around with the basketball team this weekend. May they be well and be safe and prosper. Thanks for his leadership here for his first full year. And Lord, what you're doing through he and his family here along the way. So all these things we give unto you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk about miracles this morning. I don't think in the church we talk about miracles enough. It seems like some folks in the Christian tradition believe that miracles are really for back then and not today. And I'm here to tell you today that miracles happen right before your eyes and you don't see it. Miracles happen because you have been faithful to pray for them. And miracles happen because in some amazing, miraculous way, God intends to show you something that you need to know, need to see, need to experience. It was one of those wonderful first miracles when I showed up at the campus of Alaska Christian College. We didn't have a building. And we drove down that road at 35109 Royal Place in January of 2001. And as I turned around the corner and saw this 8,400 square foot mansion on 10.5 acres, and the sale price that they took my first offer was only $350,000. 10.5 acres, 8,400 square feet. I'm sure in Rothman you could probably do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
$350,000. What an incredible opportunity. Only one problem. We don't have any money. How are we going to buy this thing? Prayed that day as we stood in the living room, that sunken living room in the, we call the Denali room today in this house. We prayed that God would provide the funds to make that happen. Well, the Covenant Church denomination turned us down for our loan. Can you believe that? We were the worst credit risk, and we still are. The Covenant Church. And the guy who actually built the home, who had sold the home and carried the mortgage for the current owners, he said, "Keith, I will lend you the money to make this happen." The man was a new Christian. He'd just come out of a cult and hadn't actually gotten saved, and then was baptized in the pool that's in the house. And he said, "I'll give you the loan. Three things you need, Keith. You need $100 for the paperwork. You need $2,200 a month. And you need $25,000 down." I said, "Sir, I know I could do the $100. Maybe $2,800 if we get enough students to come, with $25,000, way beyond our reach. Lord, we're praying for our first miracle. I have journals that have listed all of the miracles since we began the college, and this is the first one we asked for. And it was that I was down at First Covenant Church of Portland, Oregon, and I was preaching that morning. I had no brochures, I had no videos, I had no stories, I had no students, I had nothing to share except the vision of the Alaska Covenant Church elders to have a ministry place where young people can step into a safe, two-year, at that time, one-year Bible college, and receive hope and healing and also a higher Christian education. And it was at that church said, "You know what, Keith, we just sold a little Bible camp we've had for many years. We want to give you $25,000 to plant Alaska Christian College." And so it came from a church, and $25,000, our first miracle. Big gift for us. Enormous. I came back there a year later to say thank you to the church. I found out that the church had actually given the money in honor and memory of their pastor who had planted their church. Guess who he was? The First Covenant missionary to Alaska. And he retired and went back to Portland, planted First Covenant. God knew that miracle was going to happen years before it did. Miracles, they're all around us. I want to give you a definition of a coincidence. The definition of a coincidence is when God does a miracle and remains anonymous. Have you ever heard that before? When God does a miracle, remains anonymous. But the definition of a miracle is the involvement of God as he overrides or works outside of the natural laws that he has set in motion by superimposing his higher law for the moment, his law of love. The involvement of God as he overrides or works outside of the natural laws that he has set in motion. You know, there are two types and groups of people in the world. There are those who believe that all events have natural origin, and those who believe that many events are supernatural in origin. So did this world come into being as a natural course of action, or was it formed by God, a supernatural event? What's the answer? A supernatural event. We believe in creation, and therefore we believe in miracles. And miracles fall into five different categories. I want to share this with you in your notes. The first one are the healing miracles. Five different categories of miracles. First one is the healing. I want to take you, open up your phones with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 18. I know you all have phones out there. It's Christmas time. Luke chapter 18. An amazing story. 1835, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "Hey, what is happening?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming by." And he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to shut up. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, here's this question, it's in the red line, "What do you want me to do for you?" Of course he said, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, for your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. You know what? It's amazing that all throughout Scripture we see the healing miracles. We see people that are cured of diseases such as leprosy. We see in this story a man brought forth that "I want to see again." He's blind. Obviously, that's his request. And Jesus asked that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" I want to ask you the question this morning. What miracle do you want God to do for you? I remember sitting down with a friend of mine praying for a person dying of cancer. As we held hands with this person who was dying of cancer, my hands started to get really warm. I thought, that is really strange. And after we'd done praying, I told my friend that was praying with me, he said, "My hand got really warm. How about yours?" I said, "Mine did too." You know what was happening? That person was being healed of cancer. And that's never happened since in my life and experience. But that day, God chose to heal that person from cancer. What do you want me to do for you? Well, I want to be healed of cancer. We pray for those miracles. Another miracle, the miracle of creation, bringing things into being that were not there previously, such as feeding the 5,000 or turning water into wine. You can see that God has the power to actually multiply physically things like loaves and fish and wine. And the miracles of deliverance. Mark chapter 5. Come with me to Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Wayne. You can't miss it. Mark chapter 5. Chapter 5. Oh, great. Now I get the guy speaking. Oh, great. Thanks. Mark, I'm sorry. I can't pull that one up. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. It's the story of the man who was delivered from evil spirits. He comes to Jesus. Jesus comes to him. He's a maniac. His arms and his clothes are torn. He has got chains around him that have been broken off. He's in this graveyard in Gadara. And Jesus comes and he says, "Today you will be healed from these demons in your life. You have power through God to release demons." Now, I have to tell you that in all my years of going to cemetery, I never had any training on how to deliver people from demons. I don't think they teach it in those places hardly anymore, if at all. And so here I was getting a phone call late in the evening. "Come down to the college right now. One of our students has gone ballistic." I didn't know what that meant until I showed up. And as I walked in the door, I could see that this young lady was hunched over, her hands were clenched, and she was bowed over, she was growling. And I can tell you that, I can't describe it to you, but when you see it, you know what it is. You follow me? You know what this is going on. And oh, what do you do? Well, I know in the scripture from this story that God can do a miracle of delivering somebody from the demonic. And so I prayed, "In the name of Jesus, come out." There's power in the name of Jesus, amen? There's power to call out demons. That demon got louder and started physically picking up 6-foot Costco tables and throwing them across the room. Tearing down the plants that were hanging in the foyer of our dining hall. Got ballistic. We called 911. Didn't know what else to do. Began to pray in the name of Jesus and get louder and louder. The demon got crazier We find this young little girl, this innocent girl, goes running downstairs while this is all going on, out of the sight, down toward our dormitory, girls' dormitory basement, and she is stuck down there. She can't go anywhere. And all I can hear is this banging and this tearing noise. What is going on? And we began to pray even louder, and the staff were around me that had gathered, some of our resident life staff. In the name of Jesus, come out, come out, come out. And I remembered good friends of mine, Gordon Geneva Christian, said missionaries to the Congo, Africa, had written a story once about them being engaged in a similar situation in the Congo, where I guess it happens quite frequently. They said they were singing to get the demon out of the Easter hymn, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior." How's the chorus go? "Up from the grave he arose." Is that key? And "up from the grave he arose." And the minute we sang that part of the verse, the chorus, our young student, her name isn't Mary, but I'll call her Mary, went silent. And I go running down the stairs, and there she is, her clothes torn off of her. And completely out of it. And I sat down next to her, and I said, "Do you know where you are?" "No." It's loud, loud, low voice. "Do you know your name?" "No." Oh, my goodness, now what do I do? And I could see her eyes close. I could see her hands start to clench. And we needed a miracle. And I said to her, just pray after me these words. And we prayed together, "Lord Jesus, release me from this demon. Take this demon away from me. In the name of Jesus Christ and by his blood." And I could see all of a sudden her eyes open up and her hands unclench. And she looked at me and I looked at her. And she said, "What are you doing down here?" I said, "Do you know who you are?" "Well, of course I know who I am. Why are my clothes all torn? Why does my head hurt?" She would bang her head against the wall. And I said, "Honey, I don't know how to tell you this, but you were just released from a demon." "Oh, you're kidding me. No way. That can't have happened to me." I said, "Yeah." I said, "How can that be?" I said, "Have you ever played with Satan? Have you ever done anything, like any witchcraft? Have you done any seances? Or have you done any tarot cards? Have you ever played with any of that stuff?" He says, "No." And I said, "Have you played with a Ouija board?" "Oh, yeah. We played with a Ouija board in the village all the time." And I said, "Honey, that is a gateway to Satan. You don't know that?" "No." He said, "It was made by Parker Brothers." "I don't care who makes it. It's not a game." See, the demon that came out, the name of the demon was Mayhem. He made himself known. And her life, since the very beginnings, her life has been marked by Mayhem. It's happened many times in our school, young people. Miracle of deliverance from Satan. It's a miracle. It's an amazing thing to watch. Miracles over nature. This is where God supersedes the natural, like Jesus walking physically on water or stilling a storm. You have power through God over nature. I feel sorry for the pastor who came to church on Sunday morning and the farmer comes running in the door, "Pastor, I want prayer today. I need prayer today. I need a miracle today, Pastor." Pastor said, "What do you need?" He said, "My crops, they're dying. I need rain today, Lord. Please pray for rain." The pastor says, "Oh, I will pray for the miracle of rain," and the man leaves. The lady comes running in the church, wife, and said, "Pastor, I need a miracle today. I need a miracle. Please, would you pray for me?" He says, "Sure. What do you need?" She says, "Today's the church picnic. Pray that it doesn't rain, Pastor. Pray it doesn't rain." God has the power to answer both of those prayers, doesn't he? And I'm guessing that day, probably one of them got their prayers answered. And then the miracle of resurrection. An amazing thing to watch. Life returning to natural bodies. I've been on the fire department for 37 years. I was with Rockland Fire for the 7 years that I was here. It's been amazing to watch people come back to life. Have you ever seen that happen before? What an amazing thing to start CPR on somebody who was talking to you 1 minute, not talking to you to the next, and then 10 minutes later, conscious again. It's an amazing thing. We were in church, in this little church we used to be in Alaska before we started the River Covenant Church, as a part of a team that planted that church. We were in this other church. It was Easter morning. And it was a great Sunday. We're all singing the great hymns, and I'm sitting up toward the front, and one of the ushers, I was like, this is me to hurry up and come to the back. I go to the back of the church, and there's my friend Dale, not that Dale. My friend Dale is 82 years old, and Dale is sleeping on the floor in the back of the church. Well, I take one good look at Dale, and Dale's not sleeping. Dale's dead. Dale, during the hymn, had the big one and had probably a heart attack and was unconscious, unresponsive, not breathing, and no pulse. Now, in my command vehicle that I used to have, I carried a defibrillator, I carried oxygen, I carried the stuff I needed to help somebody who needed all the extra gifts to get them back to life. Nothing. I left my truck home that day and drove my other vehicle. So back to good old CPR. Lady that was visiting that morning, ER nurse, she went for the chest first, which is a smart thing to do, because only leaves one thing left for me to do. And I began to blow into Dale's mouth and breathe for him. We went through one cycle, through two cycles. We called, of course, 911. My buddies were coming in the medic unit. And on the third cycle, I'm down blowing into Dale's mouth, his eyes opened up. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, stop CPR. Got Dale in the back of the medic unit. I'm back there working on him. We're hooking him up to everything. And Dale says, I don't want to stay in here. I want to go back and finish the church service. I said, Dale, you can't go back to church. You just died. You need to go to the hospital. And Dale got taken and flown up, fixed the wing up to Anchorage. We had to fly them up out of our little community. And on Tuesday, he coded again in the hospital, unfortunately. The following Sunday, I came to church on Sunday morning and walked in the door. But I found my friend Dale at the back pew sitting right where he sits every Sunday, alive and well. I talked to Dale after that experience. I said, you know, you were resurrected. I said, I know, on Easter Sunday. Go figure. Try any pastor to beat that on Sunday morning, have the resurrection in your church on Sunday morning. He said, I know God's got something left for me to do before I go. And 3 years later, Dale will want to be with the Lord. Miracles of resurrection still happen. Jesus asks you the question, what miracle do you want me to do for you today? Miracles reveal the nature of God. There are no big, there are no small miracles. All are big. They reflect the very nature of our very big God. You know, miracles should be the norm in the life of us Christians, because we are constantly stumbling through this dark world. We need God to guide our footsteps, giving us the ability to work supernaturally, the other plane. The miracles of Jesus were not just for back then, but they're for today's church. They were not only for Jesus alone, but they are for all who say, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, and you following him. We should start expecting miracles to happen. Expecting miracles to happen. Expecting miracles to happen through you should be our norm as followers. The miracles have been there all along and are waiting for simple people like you and like me who will step forward in faith and expect God to use us as he used Jesus when we asked him for miracles. What man wanted to see is very simple. God does and can answer, by the way, every prayer for a miracle. And when you ask him specifically, he knows and you know that specific miracle has been answered. And we know that God answers all prayers according to his will. 1 John 5:14 says this. Excuse me. This is the confidence that we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. John 16:24 proclaims that until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. That's a great verse. God answers every prayer according to ultimately his will and his way. What miracle do you want me to do for you today? I want to talk about praying specifically. You see, God answers these miracle prayers when you ask him very specifically. According to his will, as we read, both you and God will know then that he has answered it. His almighty hand has touched you. For every miracle, whether initiated by God or by you, we see his answer. God answers every miracle request for prayer in one of four ways. It's in your notes. First way that God answers your vertical prayer, I'll close with this set, is yes. You pray for the miracle, my answer is yes. My answer is yes. My answer is yes. I remember when I was a senior at Seattle Pacific University, was a dark, rainy, cold night in Seattle, which is most nights in Seattle. And I filled out an application to be a covenant short-term missionary in Mexico City. I filled out half of it a couple months before it was laying in my drawer. I pulled it out. You know what? I'm going to fill out the rest of this application and send it in. And I did so in January. The same night, I pulled out a pad of paper and I wrote a letter to some friends of mine, the same people who wrote the book, Bernard G. McChrystal from the Congo, Africa, one of the mentors of my life. And I said, I'm thinking about going to Mexico to be a missionary, and I'm asking you to give me advice. What do you think is a good idea or not? I'm a senior. I got a great job at a church and nearby, and maybe I should just stay there. I don't know, Lord. What do you want me to do? And I asked for their advice. February, March, April, May. May came by, and the offices in Chicago called and said, Keith, are you coming or not to Mexico? We need to know now. I said, yeah, I don't know. But I tell you what, I'll call you on Monday and let you know for sure. So that week, and then I struggled. I talked to my pastor. I talked to my parents. And I ended up, on Saturday night, I remember very specifically, laying in bed and praying, Lord, I want a miracle. On Monday, after waiting 5 months, if the letter comes from Congo, Africa, and they say to go for it, I'll go for it. We didn't have email back then. We didn't have sat phones. All we had was U.S. mail. Monday morning, I run down to my mailbox at Seattle Pacific University, knowing I'd prayed this miracle prayer. Opened up the door of my mailbox, and guess what was in it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So that prayer, I guess, was no. That afternoon, I went home. A friend of mine's mom had passed away with her funeral, First Covenant Church of Fairmont, Washington. I ran by my home, Lake Stevens, to grab some things. And there, on the desk, arrived at my home that day, a letter from Congo, Africa. Gordon Jesus said, oh, you should go for it. You're young. You have your life ahead of you. You have no wife, no kid. Go for it. Go do it. I put the letter down, and I walked in, and I called immediately. I said, I'm on my way to Mexico. A miracle prayer answered exactly as you ask. Follow me? And you've had that happen in your life, haven't you? But pray specific. He also answers it in a different way. In a different way. Pastor Bob Munger was one of my professors at Fuller Seminary. Pastor Bob's an amazing guy. He wrote a little booklet, My Heart, Christ's Home, the number one selling university press tract in the world. Pastor Bob told us a story at a 4-hour class of prayer with him for a whole semester. He tells a story in the 1920s of being born with diabetes. And he says, I went to faith healers. I went to get my hand, get laid on miracles. I wanted a miracle. I wanted to serve you, Lord, all my life, but I needed a miracle. I needed to be relieved of this horrible disease of diabetes in the 1930s. It was bad. He didn't have all the ways to treat it back then. And Pastor Bob stood there at age 78 teaching this class. He said, you know what? I just went to my Fuller Seminary 50th reunion. There were two of us. The reason why there were two of us is because we've outlived all the rest. You see, I asked God if he would heal me from diabetes, and he answered me in a different way because of diabetes. I had to eat right. I had to exercise and take care of myself. I outlived almost everybody. Did God answer his miracle prayer? He did. He just did it in a different way. And sometimes you have to look for that, that God will answer it in a different way. And sometimes he answers it in his time. Some of you will like this story. In his time. I mean, I want to do it right now, God. I want immediate gratification. I want the prayer answered today. But sometimes God says, no, you need to wait for my timing. When I moved here to Rockland to be the youth pastor in 1989, I was 27 years old. And I had no girlfriend, but I had a neat pickup truck. And, you know, I was looking around, and there weren't many folks here at Rockland Covenant that were my age and stage of life. And so, Lord, I really feel like, Lord, if I could have a wife, I would be able to further do ministry that I think you chose me to do as youth pastor. Lord, would you bring me a wife? 27 went by. 28 went by. 29 went by. 30 went by. 31 years old. She finally said yes. And I remember the wedding day, as some of you might remember. We had a reception over here in Roseville afterwards. And you see in my Bible that I had at the time, I went to Proverbs 31:30. And I wrote in my Bible next to that verse that says that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I wrote in my Bible, "Lord, thank you for giving me blank for my wife." And at the reception, if you remember, I brought my Bible with me, and there I filled in the name Debbie into my Bible. See, I waited and prayed for a miracle for a wife, and God gave me, in his time, the answer to that miraculous prayer. But it wasn't when I was 27 or 28, when I was 31. She had to wait that long also to find the perfect husband. It was a mutual kind of thing. And finally, God answers, absolutely not. Our specific prayers for miracles, sometimes he answers, absolutely no way. And why does he do that? Because he loves us. Because he loves us, he says no. No, 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 this isn't right. I think of King Midas, who had the miracle that everything I touched would turn to gold. What happened? He couldn't eat, he couldn't touch his family. It was a horrible thing to ask for. And God knows what you need so much that the miracle you pray for may not be in his will and may not be the best for you. How many times have we prayed for something that we believe is the best miracle for us, and God says, no, I love you so much, it's just not going to happen today. That's all because of his love. So we pray specifically for miracles. What miracle do you want me to do for you today, as the blind man asked? So I close with this story. It's a fun one. It was the first year at ACC. And by the way, I'm excited to bring the team. Dale is leading. I'm excited. Dale has led teams. He's hosted teams. You will have the best mission experience of your life if you come up this summer and join us. I hope to be there to be with you as well. My family, have you over to our home. It'd be great. We're only going to ask you to work during daylight hours when you're there. If you have some time, we might take you fishing. So please. Age junior high up through 99. You're all, well, even Doug Osella, even Doug can come. You all fit in, okay? Because we have folks of all ages and stages come. It's a wonderful experience. You will be blessed. God will honor you for that. But it was one of those days at ACC. March 31st, 2002. We've been open for 6 months. We've had our first group of 22 students come. We have our staff of 16 missionaries and volunteers. We're up and running, but it's payday. It's March 31st. And we were $8,000 short of making payroll. Now, my role as the president, I'm the last one to always get paid. There's been many months where it's been way into the month before I got paid. But this was a lot of us were going to get paid. Lord, we didn't earn. We didn't earn. That day was the last day of one of our volunteers, Phyllis, and Sharon was coming in to be our new receptionist. And I said to Sharon, I need you to kind of go through everything, look at the safe again. The money hadn't miraculously appeared. I'd been praying a miracle. And I said, but just start going through the files and the drawers, get familiar with the office. She's rummaging through things. She steps out and comes into my office. She says, Keith, she said, I just found this manila envelope stuck down in one of the files in the file drawer. She said, I opened it up, and it has a bunch of checks from 3 months ago that were never deposited. And we went through the checks, $8,010, just enough to cover it. I wrote that down in the journal that we probably wrote someday that tells the story of God's miracles at Alaska Christian College. What do you want me to do for you today, Jesus asked? What miracle? B-H-A-M. What is your big, holy, audacious miracle that you can ask for today? On your little notes here at the very end, you can write down, Lord, what is that one thing that's in your heart today, the very depths of your heart, your passion? What miracle prayer do you want God to answer for you today? It might be yes, It might be in a different way. It might be in his time of waiting. It might be absolutely not. But Jesus will answer your prayer. I challenge you today, take a few moments for one specific miracle as you contemplate Jesus coming alongside of us, like the blind man, like the little boy with the fish, like the demoniac, like the pastor praying for both rain and sunshine at the same time. Simply ask God this question: what miracle brought forth in faith today? Do you want me to do? He's waiting. Write that down either in your heart or on the paper today and begin to pray. When I come back next time to preach, I hope many of you will come up and say, you won't believe what happened. It's a miracle that happened since you were here last. I love you.